created with free version for non-commercial use. Created with free version for non-commercial use.
This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him in all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham."
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
"Even now, I have a vine at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is coming is more powerful than I. Is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with an unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Always a beautiful, beautiful message to hear on this second Sunday of Advent. The two options we have, wheat or unquenchable fire to be burned.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
I really was thinking about John the Baptist, and I'm pretty sure he was quite possibly the first fad dieter in the world. I'm not sure about that, but it seems likely that he might have been the first one to latch on to one of those fad diets. You know, there's been all kinds of fads that have gone around for the last decades. I think back in the 50s, they said, just smoke a cigarette, and that will cure you of any need to eat. And then it was the little to no fat diet. Was that like in the 80s or something? You guys remember that one? Little to no fat, that started up. Then there's the no carb diet. That one is pretty popular. Then there's the high-fat diet. Then there's the lots of protein diet. There's all kinds of I'm sure I'm missing some of the diets that are out there, but there's all kinds of stuff. I mean, we like to think that if we just would change that one thing, we could fix it and not just have it.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
Wild honey.
created with free version for non-commercial use.
And guess what the ingredients of these are? Locust and wild honey. Yes, you guessed it. Sounds delicious. Sounds wonderful. So even today, we can be a part of this wonderful diet of John the Baptist. Now, I did read that technically he had become already a priest, you know. His father was a priest. So that means he was in the line of the priests, and they would all have to serve in the temple at some point as being a priest. And if you're serving in the temple and people bring sacrifices to the temple, the priests are supposed to eat a portion of those sacrifices. So probably this is not the only thing that John the Baptist ever ate. I'm assuming that he ate other things as a little boy and as he was growing up, and then eating the sacrifices that he received as a priest in the temple and all of that.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
He was doing this as a special sign and a special occasion of preparation and as a sign for something. Prophets were known throughout the Old Testament to do strange symbolic acts and wear really strange clothing in order to bring the awareness of the people to what God was doing at that moment. Therefore, we get John the Baptist in the desert, camel hair for a coat, a leather belt, just a leather belt to wrap around his waist, eating locusts and wild honey. Apparently, camel's hair is considered to be simple clothing. But so unfortunately I had some technical difficulties with the slides to get them up here, so I'm gonna bring this. This is a camel hair jacket you can find online today. It's very suave and
created with free version for non-commercial
camel
use.
Hair jacket. That didn't make me think it's not really that simple after all, is it, right? You could get a real fancy camel hair jacket to wear. Although I think this is more what is being imagined in this story of John. Hopefully you can see this. Sorry about the slides not being on there. Hopefully this is what you can see right here. This is more what John the Baptist was probably actually wearing. He was definitely making a statement. He was definitely making a statement. That, along with his extreme dietary restrictions. Would you enjoy a meal? Some of that right there? Looking good. I won't show this to Chris. He's vegetarian. He will not appreciate this at all. But I can see it. I can see it. You're really hungry out there in the desert. Dip this in some wild honey. I mean, it's pretty gross, actually. When we stop and think about it. Surprisingly,
created with free version for non-commercial use. Created with free version for non-commercial use.
At least you can eat that. You can eat those little guys because they ate the food off of your land. So that gives us back to all those kosher laws that come from the Old Testament. And some say that the kosher laws were put into place because those foods, they're just plain healthier than others, although I'm not sure about the locust thing. But another take is that it follows along with God's plan for creation. Since the beginning, God separated and divided things out, and so we're only supposed to eat certain things that God has put for us. But the Bible, it doesn't really explain the kosher laws. You know, it doesn't give a, like, this is why you should do it necessarily, except
created with free version for non-commercial use.
That word set apart is the same as saying something is holy. When something is holy, it's set apart from everything else around it. And that's what the people of Israel were meant to be, right? They were meant to be a group of people, a whole nation of people that was set apart from the other nations of the world to be a special sign, to be a symbol, to point to God, so that all the nations of the world would be able to look at them, and then they would be able to find who God is through them. And it's kind of not explained, because in a sense, as the people of Israel in that time, you just had to accept that this was true. And it also allows for to have a sense of humility. Because if I'm in the group that's being set apart, that's being the holy group, then that could make me arrogant, right? That could be like, I am so much better than all those other nations.
Created with free version for non-commercial use. Created with free version for non-commercial use. Created with free version for non-commercial use. Created with free version for non-commercial use.
Disagree with.
created with free version for non-commercial use.
But Jesus makes it more about a transformation of our hearts and minds. John baptizes outwardly, right? John is a baptism outwardly with water, but Jesus baptizes inwardly with the Spirit of God, with the energy of God's love and grace at work in our hearts and minds. Of course, that inward transformation is well attested in the Old Testament. I'm not saying there's some dichotomy between Old Testament and New Testament. It is very well attested that what God really wants is a transformation of our hearts and minds, but sometimes we get caught up in the sign itself. We start to think that the sign is what actually has the power, when really the sign is pointing to something else that is more important. So you may be thinking to yourself, look, we use water today in church. Don't we still have that water? Didn't we just have a baptism?
Created with free version for non-commercial use. Created with free version for non-commercial use.
There may be many paths to getting there, but there's two options for us, two destinations. Are we going to be wheat or are we going to be chaff? Are we going to eternal, abundant life or unquenchable fire and destruction? Not much of a choice when you stop and think about it, right? Am I going to eternal, abundant life?
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
Let's choose the table of life, the table of abundant, eternal life, and not the one that leads us toward unquenchable fire. Now, you may also be thinking that unquenchable fire or that eternal abundant life is really far away in the future. No, no, no. That abundant, eternal life or unquenchable fire cannot be put off. It cannot be put off like the Emperor Constantine. There's a story that he waited to get baptized until he was on his deathbed. He didn't want any sin to creep back into his life before he died and send him to the unquenchable fire. So he waited until he was about to die so he could be baptized, receive forgiveness of sins, and then hopefully go on to heaven. It cannot be put off. It cannot be put off. It affects our lives right now. How are we going to
created with free version for non-commercial use.
What are we going to be focused on? The outward appearance, having everything perfectly put together, being a powerful, important person in the world, or the inward self, connected to God through God's Spirit and connected to all people and really all creation. It affects how we live here and now, to become united with all people in God's grace and God's
created with free version for non-commercial use. 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 Make that a reality. created with free version for non-commercial use.
We don't have all the answers, but that is the calling that God brings us to. That's what we truly celebrate every Christmas season, is it not? Hope in this future reality of God's abundance, the peace that we experience together, the joy of a little child on Christmas morning, seeing the tree and all the presents under the tree and all of that, and ultimately the love of God that unites us together with one another. Hope, peace, joy, and love. That is what we celebrate this Christmas season, and we are preparing for in this Advent. A beautiful world indeed. So during this Advent season, may the God of steadfast and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together,
created with free version for non-commercial use,
the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.